And we left off in verse 23, the paragraph mark there. So we'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into the lesson. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. And Father, we pray that we would just be prepared to hear what you have to say today, Lord, that our hearts would be prepared, and our ears, Lord, and the ears of our hearts. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that we would just be mindful of your words. And we pray for those, Lord, that are hurting, that maybe they couldn't make it to church today, Lord. We pray for those that you would just give them something in your words as they go through it today. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Last week, we saw that how we can doctrinally apply that fig tree in Matthew chapter 21:19 to an individual at the end of the tribulation when Jesus comes back to Jerusalem, and men that haven't produced the fruit of repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus will be cursed forever and will never be able to produce fruit again. They'll never have an opportunity to produce it again. And we also saw a demonstration of having faith in what Jesus said would happen. He said that if you have faith and doubt not, that you'll be able to say something so far out there that you would never think it would come true. But if you have faith and doubt not, it will come true. And like saying to the mountain that Jesus specifies, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, it shall be done. Now, listen, folks, most people would never say anything like that, especially in front of somebody else, right? If they didn't believe that it would happen. And neither would I. But if you have faith, and when I say have faith, and when the Bible says to have faith, I know that having faith only comes by hearing the Word of God. Okay? And that is hearing the Word of God from your heart. Okay? And receiving it. And only then could you even know to say to this mountain that Jesus was talking about, be removed and be cast into the sea. Be removed hence and be cast into the sea. And so it's when people don't believe every word of God, that's when you have people going around saying to this mountain, remove and be cast into the sea, I have faith and it's got to happen. And it never happens, right? They don't believe every word of God. And it's only when people don't believe every word of God that they go around to these fig trees and they say, let no fruit grow on thee from henceforth forever. And yet the next year the fruit comes, and the next year the fruit comes. Right? And that's the reason why men for years were looking for Noah's Ark on Mount Ararat, when the Bible clearly states in Genesis 8:4 that the Noah's Ark rested in the mountains of Ararat. And it wasn't until somebody said, ooh, the S is plural. It doesn't necessarily mean that this Noah's Ark was on Mount Ararat. It could be anywhere in the mountains of the Ararat region. And that's when they found it. And so people need to get a real Bible. I like when Pastor said that. That was funny. A real Bible. Not a fake Bible. That was funny. They need to get a real Bible and find out what's written in what God wants for you and I to believe. Right? And then if you ask God for what He wants you to have, that's in His Word for you to believe, You'll find that verse 22 in Matthew chapter 21 is absolutely true. That's when you'll find that that is true, and that's when you'll be able to say to the right mountain, be thou cast in the sea, and it's going to be done. Okay? But you wouldn't even know, you wouldn't even have anything to believe in to ask for if you don't have a real Bible. You'll be asking for the wrong thing. Maybe the S is taken off the word mountains, and people will never find the ark. And so we have God's words, we have them perfectly preserved and sinless for today, and we can believe what he says, and we can ask for what he wants us to have, and it's going to happen, folks. It's going to happen. Verse 23. The Bible says, so that's just a review of last week. The Bible says in verse 23, and when he was come into the temple, now Jesus has gone out of Jerusalem, he's come back to Jerusalem, he's going back into the temple. The Bible says, and when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? Now, these scribes and Pharisees, they don't have any respect for Jesus at all, because if they had any respect at all for him, they wouldn't have been trying to discredit him as he was teaching the people in the temple. They wouldn't have tried to discredit the witness in front of others. And most men in this life that are in a place of authority over others thrive on the idea that they have control over other men. And usually once men get a taste of this control that they have over other men, they don't like to relinquish this authority to anybody else. And that's just human nature, folks. It's human nature. And you see this in all areas of life. You see it not only in the judicial system, you see it in the political system. And not only in the political system, but you see this in the religious sector. Not only in the religious sector, folks, but you also see it in the work sector. And the sad fact is that there are men out in this world that are masters. They're masters of control over other men. And the moment that you threaten this control that they think they have over you, they will either try to take you out, or they're going to try to discredit you in front of the people that you're being a witness to. Especially when it's you're threatening somebody else's authority. And so Jesus is in the temple here. He's teaching the truth. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they want to be the ones that teach the people. But they aren't teaching them the truth. They aren't teaching them the truth. But they want to be the ones teaching the people. But when Jesus shows up teaching, he taught in such a way that he taught in such a way that the regular Joe Schmo gladly heard him. They gladly heard him. And why? Because he taught them as one having authority. Having authority. Matthew chapter 7. We all know this verse. Matthew chapter 7, 29. We'll start in verse 28. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority. Folks, Jesus, he believed what he was teaching. He believed what he was teaching people. Why? Because he's the author of what's being taught. He's the author of what's being taught. And the author of something is the authority of something, especially when the author is claiming to be God. And Jesus was claiming to be God. He was claiming to be God. And so, I'll give you an example uh, of, of an author being the authority. When I worked for the big oil company, I like using them as a, I'm not going to name them right now, but I like using them as an example. And because it taught me a lot of stuff about authority, about, you're in control over somebody else, but really, you really don't have any control. The author has the control, okay? But when I was working for a big oil company, as their agent to the contractor, I was like the middle guy, the mediator, right? And I would portray what they wanted to the contractor would portray what they wanted to me, and I would take that back to the big oil company and vice versa, and that's how we communicated. And that's how things got moving and got done out in the workforce. And so, but it didn't matter what I said. It didn't matter what I said, but what mattered was what the big oil company said. Why? Because they were the ones that were paying the bills. And as long as what I said to the contractor matched up with what the big oil company said, I had authority over the contractor only because of what the author of that big oil company said. And there was rules, and there was regulations, and there was procedures and specifications and all these different types of things. If you want to say ordinances, laws, okay, they had them. And let me tell you, they had them. We spent months and months and months and months before we ever even said anything to the contractor, studying those ordinances. I remember the first day I was there, they slapped a big book on the table, it was about that big, and they said, read that book. Don't go out of the office, just read that book. And that's all I did, read right through it. It's a procedures book for safety. Then he came back and said, read this book. This was the contract book. This was how you were supposed to deal with contracts. And they'd take you to training and they'd say, don't say this, you can say this and you can say this. Because if you say anything to them that indicates to them that they are going to get this job, that verbal contract is good for a year. And so there was procedures, there was things that we had to abide by. And laws, but it didn't matter what I said. And let me tell you, folks, when I said something to the company, and they had all the access to this information, everybody had access to this information. When I said something to the company or to the contractor that didn't match with what the company said, and if that contractor wanted to do with what the company said and not what I said, guess what? Mikey just lost his authority over the contractor. And let me tell you, any chance they got, they would say, that's not right, we're not doing it. And I didn't like that. I didn't like this. Human nature not to like that. Especially, one of the reasons why I didn't like that is because I can't believe that I didn't know that specific procedure. After all that study. And I'd be mad at myself for not knowing it because they got the best of me. But you can kind of understand. I can kind of relate to how these scribes and Pharisees are thinking here, because it's just part of human nature. They don't want to relinquish their authority. And here's Jesus is teaching the people something different than the scribes and the Pharisees were teaching. And what the scribes and Pharisees were teaching it didn't line up with God's words, God's authority. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they're not liking it very much, folks. They don't like the fact that they're wrong. They don't like the fact that Jesus is in there teaching people and people are listening to him and he's teaching them something that they didn't teach them. And so, isn't it a wonder that these scribes and Pharisees are trying to just discredit what Jesus is teaching, but to no avail. But to no avail. They didn't get one over on Jesus. like the contractor got over on me. They didn't get that because Jesus, he knows exactly what he's teaching. He's teaching the scriptures. And he's the authority for that. And so, but it's a wonder why they're trying to discredit. Because it's in every human being's sin nature to defend themselves when hurt. That's just how it is. It's in every human's nature to defend themselves when they're hurt. Somebody, if somebody is trying to physically hurt you, it's in your nature to defend yourself. I sure hope so. Because somebody tries to hurt me, I'm going to tell you what, I'm always, if somebody comes after me with the even the intent to hurt me, my motto is hit first and hit hard. And hopefully they don't come after you no more. But you people can kind of, they know what's going to happen. I mean, you know what, somebody's going to try to hurt you, and you're going to defend yourself. But it's in our nature. Somebody tries to invade your area of abode and take any contents therein or hurt you, it's in your nature to defend your the place of abode. And somebody attacks your views with their views, it's in your nature to defend ourselves in those instances. And to lash out against those and but we as Christians, we need to be careful about lashing at others when they have different views. We do. We need to be careful when it comes to what God has to say to us, regardless of who's saying it. Regardless of who's saying it. Hey, the truth, it's going to hurt us at times. And it's going to attack our authority. It's going to attack our authority. If our authority is ourselves and what we think, it's going to attack. Do we react like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and attack the preacher and attack the teacher? Or do we submit to God's authority? Hey, when the teacher's wrong, he's wrong. Right? But when he's right, do we go to attack him? How about that? I should have learned from last week. I got ADD. Anyway. But do we attack them or do we submit to God's authority? And so what you have, man's idea of the truth here, folks, apart from the Bible, is designed to enslave men. It is. It's designed to enslave you. And it's designed to put you under his control. That's what it's designed to do. And God's truth is designed to make you free. That is, from the bondage of sin. It's designed to make you free from the bondage of sin. And that bondage of sin holds on to every man with a death grip. It's a death grip. Wages of sin is death. It's death. And so you're either going to be under man's control, you're either going to be under God's control, or you're going to be under sin's control. God's truth is designed to get you out of man's control, to get you out of sin's control. Man's control when it's apart from the Word of God, and get you out of sin's control. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, let's look at this verse here. What does it say? And when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came into him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority?" Okay. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, like many preachers, right? Many preachers. And virtually all your politicians, they have the ability to talk and talk and talk and talk for hours and hours and hours, and really what they're actually saying can be condensed into one sentence. Hey, we got 40 minutes, 45 minutes to teach here. I got to try and figure out words to place in on everything, right? And what? What's that? Okay. Okay, a couple more minutes. But anyway, let's analyze these two questions that the Pharisees ask here in verse 23. By what and whose authority? Now, if you look at Jesus' response here, you're going to find that Jesus knows that the Pharisees and Sadducees only asks him one question. They only ask him one question. And now if you go to the Luke passage, well, let's see where this Luke 21, Luke 20 verse 1, you're going to find out that the Pharisees and Sadducees really only ask Jesus one question. They only want one answer. One. And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came unto him with the elders and spake unto him, saying, "Tell us, by what authority doest thou these things?" Or who is he that gave thee this authority? Seems like we got a contradiction. It seems like they're asking him two questions in Matthew, but in Luke, we see they're only asking him one to answer one question. Okay? And so they only care about one question. Who's the authority? Or what's the authority? Okay? Which shows you, folks, that in the Bible, the word "and," you have to be careful about. It's not as you don't have to be as careful as the word "as" and "like," but you still have to be careful of it, because the word "and" could mean even. The word "and" it may not just mean also or in addition to. Okay, it could mean even. And so let's go back to Matthew chapter 21, verse 24. And let's look at how Jesus answers. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things." Hey, all Jesus has to say here is, "I do these things by God's authority." And that answers the what and the whose authority that the scribes and Pharisees are wondering about. And Jesus, he isn't a wasteful person. He isn't a wasteful person. And you know that by all the food that Jesus and his disciples collected after he fed the multitudes. Jesus doesn't waste anything. He doesn't waste food. And he doesn't waste his time. He did everything he was supposed to do when he came to this earth the first time. He did everything he was supposed to do. And he doesn't waste his breath, folks. He doesn't waste his breath. Okay. You ask Jesus one question in two different ways, it's only fair that he ask you one question that is designed to you can answer them two different ways. It's only fair. I love it. Okay? And so Jesus, he gets to ask them one question, and they can be answered two different ways, and you get to choose which way you want to answer it. And if you answer it, Jesus is going to be fair, and he's going to give you the answer you were looking for that you asked him two questions about. Or that you asked him one question in two different ways. Verse 25, the baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? And they reason with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him? Now look at how designed this question is in verse 24. If the Pharisees and Sadducees answer this question honestly, they will have answered their own question to Jesus in verse 23. And they would have shown that they are altogether wrong and Jesus is altogether right. And these are the types of questions that God is going to ask every individual that shows up at the white throne judgment. He's going to ask you questions that are designed that no matter how you answer, you're going to condemn yourself. You're going to condemn yourself. So if they answer from heaven, then they would have known what authority Jesus did these things by, because John testified of Jesus. And if John was doing things that he was doing from the authority from heaven, and God is in heaven, then Jesus was doing the things he was doing with the authority from God in heaven. But these guys, when presented with the question, did the old play review. That's what they did. We call it, in football terms, the huddle. They did the huddle. And the Bible says they reasoned with themselves. They got their story straight. Hey, when me and my uncle are fishing sometimes, and we got fish in a basket that aren't supposed to be there, we get our story straight. Let me tell you, because when a DNR shows up, if you say the wrong thing, you're getting fined. You're getting fined. So we get our story straight. The last thing that these religious leaders wanted was to say different things in front of these people. I don't blame them. You don't want one guy saying one thing and one guy saying another thing. Then they all look at you and they say, none of you know what you're talking about. And you're condemned. But here are two groups of people that don't have the same beliefs, folks. Pharisees and Sadducees, they don't have the same beliefs. And yet, they get together and agree with each other when presented with a question that will destroy the one thing that they hold more than life itself, and that is authority. They're going to go to hell because of they wanted their authority. They don't love their lives, folks. They love the authority they have over other people, over men. If they say of heaven, they'll lose their authority to Jesus and publicly say to everyone that they don't have any authority. Jesus has all the authority. The scriptures have all the authority. Verse 26. But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. Now, if they say of men, they're going to lose their authority. Why? Because the people believe John was a prophet sent by God. And so the people will lose any respect that they had for the Pharisees and Sadducees if they say it's of men. The Pharisees attacked Jesus about authority. And so Jesus presents a question that attacks the Pharisees and Sadducees' authority. Okay? It's only fair. It's only fair. The problem here is that what should have been the Pharisees and Sadducees' authority was the Scriptures. But they made their traditions the authority, making the Word of God of none effect in their lives or the people's lives that heard them. Hence, as the Scripture says in Matthew 15:14, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in a ditch. How many blind people do you read about the Pharisees and Sadducees healing? None. But you hear Jesus healing the blind many times. Many times. Jesus doesn't want the people to be ignorant. He doesn't want them to be blind. He wants them to see the truth. The Pharisees want to hide the truth. Why? So they can keep the grip of control over them. Verse 27. Matthew 21, verse 27. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Now, what these hypocritical leaders do here is what we call, in our day, pleading the fifth. It's not that they didn't know. Why, that would be lying if they said, I didn't know. And that would prick their conscience. And their self-righteousness would go right out the window, folks. Pharisees and Sadducees were self-righteous people. And so they didn't want to lie to Jesus. No, they said in a political, non-confrontational way, what they said was, we're not telling you a thing. We don't have to tell you anything. In a nice political way. You try to learn that in the real world so you don't create friction amongst people. You try to learn a political way of saying, go fly a kite when you never said it. And then people walk away scratching their head going, what just happened there? Unbelievable what you see out there in this world. It's just right in line with the Bible. But what they're saying here is, we are the leaders here, and we don't have to answer you anything. These guys aren't interested in the truth, because had they been interested, they would have believed that the baptism of John was from heaven. And they would have answered their own question about authority that Jesus had teaching in the temple. And they would have known that the author was God. And in the Old Testament, God, he gave the scriptures. God is the author there. And therefore, the things that John spoke about Jesus was true. And they should have repented and submitted to God's authority, his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But they're not interested in the truth. They're not interested in the truth. And it didn't matter what Jesus would have told them. They wouldn't have believed in anything. They wouldn't have believed it anyway. It wouldn't have changed a thing. And that's why one of the worst things a person can do to themselves is to start rejecting God's truth and his authority, his words. Because once that happened, God isn't about to show you anything else. Just like he isn't about to show these scribes and Pharisees by what authority he's doing the things that he's doing. And so Jesus responds to these Pharisees and Sadducees as they responded to Jesus in their heart. Neither I tell you by what authority I do these things. You don't want to tell me? I'm not telling you. And rightfully so. And so we just need to be careful, folks, what we do with God's words, because it's coming right back on you the way you put it on him. Just like he shows right here in the scriptures. And we'll go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. And we pray that you would just... we would believe them, Lord. We just need to believe what you say. And we've got plenty of examples in the Bible of what happens to people when they don't trust your words, when they don't believe you're the authority, when they want to believe that they're the authority, Lord. And we pray that we wouldn't be like that, that we would just submit when we're wrong, we're wrong, and just move on and repent and move on and know more about you. And we pray that we would do that for Christ's sake. Amen.